truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to everybody's favorite podcast, Truth Be Told. All right, people, today I have for your listening pleasure wrestling's richest prize, the man behind the kick heard around the world, and your BCW champ, Warriors of Wrestling heavyweight champ, ex-Battle Club Pro ace, and Capital Wrestling centerpiece. Welcome, Mr. Darius Carter, to the show.
Excellently done. Beautifully done. A round of applause for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that kind introduction.
Oh, no problem, man. Glad to have you on. How are you feeling this evening?
Feeling magnificent. I'm feeling as I should feel it. Whenever I look at myself in the mirror, I should smile. I should be happy. And that's exactly where I'm at. It's amazing. This is the best I've ever been, the best run of my career so far. And it's only getting better. So there's no reason for me to do anything but smile. I'm excited.
Man, I love that energy, and I'm ready to get into it when you are.
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, Mr. Carter, how did you get into wrestling, and who are some of your main influences?
I got into wrestling as soon as I could remember. My dearest and closest and earliest memories have professional wrestling in it. I grew up with professional wrestling, and there was never a period where I didn't watch it. A lot of people, you know, say they fell out during certain periods, like the 2000s, early 2000s, this and that. I watched wrestling. It is the one constant in my entire life is professional wrestling. I watched it sit with my great-grandmother. She was, I guess, the first person who introduced me to it or the person who showed it to me. And I would watch it with her. She'd be in a rocking chair. I'd be sitting Indian style on the floor and just enamored with everything that was professional wrestling since as early as I can remember.
I love that, man. And who are some of like the wrestlers you grew up watching that influenced you that you remember?
Well, my primary influence, because you have to have one, you know, that really was your person when you were younger.
Absolutely.
Mine was the Nature Boy Ric Flair, easily. Yeah. Ric Flair. Everything that Ric Flair was, I wanted to be. I wanted that, you know, the limousines, the suits, the watches, the shades, the women, the helicopter, the hair. That wasn't, but everything that Ric Flair was, the way he would walk down to the ring and all the fans would all try and touch him. They were booing him, but they all were trying to touch him. And that was something that stuck with me as a child, that, you know, people can hate on you and deject you, but also reach out
at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. They want your approval. They want you. They're booing you, but they're booing you with the hopes that you notice them and that you pay attention to them. They want, that person wants you to know that they're booing you. When you don't give them that acknowledgement, it hurts them. So those are little things that I picked up on as a child and in youth. And Ric Flair, I mean, the robes, everything that Ric Flair was, you know, the champion that he was too. I mean, that verified that he was the right thing to be. Ric Flair, when I saw him as a kid, he was always with a championship around his waist, always with a title. But that stuck with me too. Little things, man, little things.
Now, did you end up going to, like, wrestling school, or were you trained by someone specific?
Yeah, unlike people today who aren't trained. No, I'm kidding. that was a sharp dagger I sharpened every night. No, I started training in BWO, Body Slam Wrestling Organization, which is now defunct, we can say, but, I mean, it had an incredible run. Anyone who's wrestled, I always say this, anyone who's wrestled, you know, 10 years or more, you know, has heard of BWO, wrestled for BWO, you know what BWO is. They used to run in Hasbrook Heights, and then they ended up losing that building, and then they traveled for a little bit, but then ultimately it kind of petered out. I'm actually the last BWO heavyweight champion. I won it July of last year, 7 days after my birthday, of 2017, I should say. I'm sorry, July 17th, 2017. So that was really the end of BWO there, the official end. But I started training in November of 2008. So 2 years after going into college. So, you know, that was an interesting experience. But BWO, I mean, they did it the right way. I mean, you know, they you know, because I came in, you come in excited, wanting to do all these things. And BWO really, you know, took the time to slow me down, to sharpen me, to hone me, taught me the right way. You know, you do your stretches before you do your bumps, just all these things. That school really took care of me and helped make me the person I am. So I owe everything to BWO, really.
Absolutely. And which match of yours do you feel like was like your breakout performance, or when you felt like during the match, like, this is what I'm meant to do, like I'm in the right place?
You know, I'm not a match collector per se. I am a big collector of things, but in terms of match collections, I keep those to memory, and I remember, you know, the ones that were big to me, and the ones, you know, that that helped elevate me. I'm not one of those people that says that one match is my best match, because I want my best match to be my next match. So, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, that match 2 years ago was the best match I had. Because at that point, it's like, well, what have you done in those 2 years if your best match was 2 years ago?
Right.
So that's my mentality. I want every match, no matter who I'm wrestling, whether I'm wrestling the biggest name or top quality performer to a young kid who's you know, green in the thumbs, I want every match to be my best match. So that's why I never go in. You never see me, quote unquote, phone it in. I never am not trying, or I'm never just sticking to the hits because there's a certain amount of people in the crowd, or because I'm getting paid X amount of dollars. You're getting Darius Carter no matter which show, no matter who my opponent is. No matter where I am. So there's not particularly, it's hard for me to say which match in that respect, because honestly, I would say my first match. I mean, the moment I walked through the curtain in my first match, you know, back in April of 2009, you know, back when I did that, I knew that it was for me. It's just, you grow up and you learn who your real you is, you know, who the person behind, beneath it all, behind it all. And that evolution of Darius Carter through these, you know, 10, 11 years has just been 10 years. Definitely not 11. Let's not say 10 or 11. Let's say 10. But those years, the metamorphosis of Darius Carter, if you really paid attention to my career, you'll see how my everything that I am, my essence has changed and evolved to the man that I am now.
Mr. Darius Carter, always evolving, man. I like that. I like that answer. It's different. What's been hard about life on the road?
You know, what's hard about it is, and it's funny, because I was just going to tweet something out, but then I, you know, promoted that I was going to, you know, be on this podcast anyway. I mean, we promoted it throughout the day, of course, but this tweet is more important, so let me get this out right now, but I'm still going to release this tweet later, but I guess this will be the first you hear it from me here. Pretty much previewing the tweet that I was going to send. But, I was just thinking to myself, you know, the thing about wrestling is it's all the air around wrestling that make it difficult. It's not the actual professional wrestling. I love the actual professional wrestling and getting in there and mixing it up. I'll tell you right now, I don't think there's anybody that I can't mix it up with or hold my own with, and people could say what they want about that. You could take that as arrogance or confidence, but I am a wrestler. I am a professional wrestler. I've had amateur wrestling training, and I this is what I do, and I've studied it since the beginning. I've studied the catch-as-catch-can style and the European style, the British style, the German, whatever you want to call it. That is what I pride myself on, and I've always loved, above all else, the wrestling aspect of wrestling, putting someone in an arm wringer and really locking it in and making it very difficult. I mean, you're not just going to forward roll out of this arm wringer. How are you going to get out? You know, this headlock, this guillotine, this cravat. I mean, this interests me, the grittiness of it all.
Not just a paycheck.
No, of course not. Of course not. And it just kind of, that's always something that I always, I stored in memory whenever I hear people, you know, say, you know, you know, they don't need to go all out in this match, or they don't need to do all this in this match. And it's like, well, what's your interpretation of going all out? I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean hitting a bunch of maneuvers and jumping off the top rope, hitting your dives and hitting your jumps? Or does going all out just mean being the best you can be at all times, being as alert as you can be? That's what, to me, being on top of my game is about. You know, I have to be sharp. I have to be, and that's what I always say about wrestling me, you know, and maybe some people may not want to wrestle me, and that's their business. You know what I mean? But if you're wrestling me, you're going to get an actual wrestling contest. You're going to need to be alert. You need to be sharp. You need to know where you are. You're not going to pass through a match with me. And I think that's definitely some of the reason. I think some guys want to come in and just do what they want to do and play the hits. And it's like, no, we're wrestling today. We're going to have a match. You're going to sweat. I'm going to sweat. It's not like I'm not sweating out there, but you're going to sweat. You're going to earn every bit of that victory or of that loss. You're not coming in and out of here and then going and getting your paycheck and leaving. Like, you're going to feel it. And that's what this is about, that competition. If you're a professional wrestler and you're not wrestling professionally, then this may not be the thing for you. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what? That kind of goes into my next question about, like, what do you say to those people that say, you know, wrestling's just fake?
I mean, fake is such a powerful word. And I think a lot of people, especially now in 2019, the wordplay is just off. People are trying to use a lot of words, but they don't quite know what they mean. And they create this vocabulary of vernacular that is just wrong and predicated off of error. So, you know, you talk about things like five-star matches. This is a term that you hear all the time. You know, you just hear, work rate. You hear all these things, and it's kind of like people are using these words, and they think they know what they mean, and they don't. And that's a lot of wrestling. And this is, again, going back to that tweet and that thought, is there's a lot of air surrounding wrestling that is contaminated. You know, there's a lot of air to me that's toxic. And it's stopping people from learning. It's stopping people from growing. And it's propagating the thought that one type of thing is correct and another type of thing is not. And it's wrong, you know, but that's the way it is in 2019. There's a lot of the things that are popular are considered the things that are the best. And that's not exactly what it is. That's why you can watch guys like Billy Robinson and learn something new today. You don't have to watch wrestling from 2006 and on. There's a ton of wrestling. That's the wrestling I study, honestly, primarily. I mean, I watch it all, but I primarily am studying the 80s, the 70s. There's so many different styles. What's done then to do it now is considered new. People just aren't looking that far, and I feel like people are just, there's a lot of the same thing now. There's a lot of, a lot of parallels in wrestling. It's all running parallel, and that's kind of considered the way to go in a lot of ways. If you're that style, you're going to get ahead a lot quicker. And to me, it's like, well, there's so much of that. There's so much vanilla ice cream in this ice cream shop. Where's the other stuff? Where are the other flavors? Where's the chocolate? Where's the strawberry? The Neapolitan? And it's kind of like, I feel like a lot of the wrestler, the flavors are kind of running together. Maybe they once were mint chocolate, but they went through the machine and they came out vanilla. And that's not me. That never was me. And that's part of the reason that I'm opposed the way that I am. I'm very direct, and I'm very candid, and I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. Yes, I just did that. So you can hate me all you want for it. That's, you're only going to hate me more because I'm only going to speak more about it, because it's only getting worse in that respect. So that's where I stand, and that's what I represent. It's just so bringing a different flavor. You know, a match card should be different throughout the match card. People, you look at your roster, there should be people that are different in the roster, you know, not people that are all six shades of gray.
Carbon copies of each other. Yeah.
It's different name, same body type, same similar move set, and it's like now you're not watching the match before you. You just did the same things that the match before you did. Maybe you did it in a different order, but I can't watch it. And I'm one of those people that will watch a match card through if I can in the locker room. So when I see a lot of the same stuff, I get turned off. Immediately my light goes off, and I'm like, you know what? Let me come back once match 7 happens because that one will be different. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Absolutely. Now, do you prefer working as a heel or a face, and why?
Again, terms, right? I am who I am, and who I am is always, I guess, going to be the enemy of the masses. Who I am is always going to be against the common opinion and the common thought. People label me as a bad person, a bad guy, sometimes erroneously because they dislike me so much, they mistake that for meaning that I'm a bad wrestler, which is very, very far from the truth. And I would love any of those people who've ever said or thought that I was a bad wrestler to say it to me. That would be interesting. And I'm not saying that I'm going to fight you. I'm just, you know, I'm not like that. All I'm saying is I can provide you proof. I can provide things approved and spoken to me by people on high levels. I've lived a great life and career, and it's not anywhere near over. But you got to stop and think. Some of the people that compliment you, some of the people that pull you aside and talk to you about your matches. Some of these people are legends in the business. Some of these people have been doing this for decades upon decades all across the world. So I count and take note of the people that have pulled me aside and said this and said that. And I'm not here to sit here and name drop and say who's done this and that. All I'm saying is I've had those discussions and I've had those privileges. So my work is proven. My work is there. And I don't think that's ever been the issue. I think people take me, they can't figure me out, so they put me in their box and they classify me as something. That's what it is with me. They say, Darius, oh, you know what? That guy's just a terrible person. He's no good. And he's this and that. Here you are. Go in this box and stay there. And it's like, but you don't really know what I represent. You don't really know what I'm here for. You don't really know why I do this. I don't wrestle because I need to, in a sense of, you know, it's not a financial source for me in terms of I don't have to live off of it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm a legitimate businessman. I do investments, and I have worked and earned that for myself. I went to college for business, so for my business degree. So I know what I'm capable of, but outside of wrestling. But I do wrestling because I love it, because my soul needs it, because my spirit needs it. I don't do it because my pocket particularly needs it. And that can adjust your mentality on wrestling. Why you do wrestling can help reflect how you see wrestling. And I respect wrestling to the most, to the fullest, more than most people know. So those people that classify me have no idea of my mentality of the art and sport of professional wrestling. And that's their loss. So that's it. I guess I'm a bad guy, but if... people need to look in the mirror before they judge. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. And you spoke a little bit about outside of wrestling. How do you balance family life in your career?
Well, I mean, you have to keep going. You have to march on, and you have to do what's right for you. And if wrestling is what's right for you, then you have to embark upon it, no matter what. And you can hope and pray that your family stays with it and stays with you. And this is just the honest truth. Again, this is just saying what it is. Whether you have a significant other, whether on your own, this or that, we're not living in our cars, or at least we shouldn't be. And if we are, that's another discussion. But, you know, we have to have a security and a stability that we are carrying with ourselves everywhere we go. Hopefully you can manage your family and your kids and everything like that while you're on the road. But that life, this is the life that it is. If you really want to be a professional wrestler, you want to wrestle, you know, as much as you can. And that's going to take you across the world. It's going to pull you away from your home and this and that. So you have to be able to adapt. Nowadays you have, and I'm not saying it's the same thing as being in person, but nowadays you have all these tools that you can communicate with your family. You have this, the, you know, the face apps and, not face apps, but you have Skype, and you have all these ways that you can communicate with your family. So that's what you have to rely on. I mean, if you have to understand that getting into the business, you're not going to get to be home all the time. So to me, it's all budgeting. And my life has been built and predicated off of budgeting and time management. Once I learned that, that was when I was able to really become successful in my life, balance myself, keep my emotions right, and keep my mentality right, stay healthy. Time management is some of the greatest healthiness that you can find in your life. And that's what I was able to get done really young. So
what is the best advice that you got when you were starting out?
Time management. and I got that from all over, inside and outside of wrestling. In business, you hear it all the time because, you know, you have portfolios and stocks that you're watching, and your stock, nothing, money doesn't stop. So it's like while you're sleeping, money is still going. So you have to learn how to manage your time. How you spend an hour here, you spend 30 minutes here. I mean, that's why I've gotten so big on watches, because I'm always wearing a watch. I just need to know the time or what time I'm at, or you know, where I'm going to be at this particular point. Sometimes you run over, sometimes you get early, but the point is just, being able to create that space for yourself in your life. I'm not saying you have to know every minute of every second, but you want to set up a plan for yourself in a day and actually give yourself the time to do that. And if you're not giving yourself the time, realize what you're doing that's stopping you from getting there, and then decide if that's important or not. You just have to compartmentalize. And I think a lot of people don't want to take the time to do that. And I think that's why people don't know who they are anymore. People are just walking around blind following the next thing because you're not taking the time to realize who you are. What is your purpose? What is your destiny in life? What is your calling? What do you want to do? If you can break up your day like that, you are telling yourself who you are. And you're building that person every day. And that's what I do. So everything matters today. Everything matters tomorrow. Everything that I did yesterday matters today. That's my mentality. So my advice to someone would be just to compartmentalize, just to break down your life. You know, before you get in the ring, every time you get out of one, just what are you doing? You know, what are you doing to improve yourself in life? What are you doing to improve yourself in wrestling? And what are you doing every day to make that improvement a reality? That's my advice.
I like that. I like that. If you could change anything about the wrestling industry, what would it be?
I would change the fact that it's so predicated right now, and for a bit of time, but it's so much more predicated on friends and favors and buddies and buddy buddies, I mean to say. It's just, you know, it's not, it's like more social hour than it is actual talent and raw ability. And that's kind of unfortunate. I wish that it wasn't so much similarity now. I wish that things that were different or different styles and throwback styles, you know, I wish they were a little more respected. And I wish they were a little more rewarded. You know, it's not because nowadays there are certain people from different styles that get rewarded, but that's because they are, you know, they either get noticed, you know, legitimately, which is always nice to see, or because they're actually one of the friends, one of the people in the buddy buddy system. And I'm not saying those guys, that people in those systems aren't good wrestlers. But what I'm saying is, if you don't fit that mold of people, if you don't hang out with them, if you're not buddy-buddy, you're not on the phones with them all the time, you don't go out after every show and eat pizza with them, if you're not in that clique, it is harder for you to get an opportunity because they're just going to find one of their friends that does that they think does something similar to what you do, and they don't need you. That's what I feel a lot of wrestling is now. I wish that was a way. I wish that there was more of a focus on who's actually doing the right thing, who's actually getting reactions from the crowd, who's actually getting that attention. And I wish those people, and not just myself, but I wish there was a little more spotlight on that. I wish that people weren't afraid to pursue that instead of doing the easy thing, which is just mass booking friends or the same types of styles, and then that's your show. And it's like, well, what makes your show different than this guy's show? There's so much wrestling now. It's everywhere. So why should I go see you when I can go see them? And that question to me has seemed a little blurred, or at least definitely on the independent level. So and you even see it on the TV level, but especially on the independent level, the saturation is, little tasteless for me in terms of how they make it look versus how it actually can be.
Right. Speaking of the TV level, do you ever see yourself working for a company like AEW or WWE?
I absolutely 110% see myself being a TV wrestler. That's honestly a lot of what I pride myself on. I mean, of course, the grappling catch-as-catch-can, that is my hallmark. That is always going to be my calling card, what makes me, again, my hallmark. But, TV wrestling, that style has always been great to me because, again, you have to think. This is what it is. It's wrestling and it is sports entertainment. If you're on TV, I mean, you're having all these cameras watch you, millions and millions of people across the world, all these things broadcasting, knowing where the cameras are and positioning yourselves and footwork and just timing. Those are the things of the TV style that I like so much because you have to balance so many things on top of wrestling. Yes, you're doing the wrestling part, but you're doing everything. You are a walking theater. You're a walking show in a professional, realistic art, a sport. That aspect to me, I love. Because there are rules to this. There are things, and I think that's the part of wrestling that's kind of escaping. It's kind of like, oh, wrestling's for everyone. And it's like, it is, but it's not at the same token in the sense that there are things that you need that are the foundation. There is a foundation to wrestling. There is a base to wrestling that if you deviate from that, then it's really not wrestling or what we do, And you can label it as such because it gets a crowd reaction, but anything that gets a crowd reaction, that doesn't make it wrestling. Just because you do something and someone cheers doesn't make it wrestling. You may have done something in a wrestling ring, but that doesn't mean that you did something wrestling. And that's, again, that's my mentality, and people can feel how they want about that. But there's a certain statute that all wrestlers should be abiding by in order to make this thing happen. And that's not 100% happening now either. So,
fair enough. Speaking of a match, you got one coming up with Killer Cross this weekend. What, if anything, do you have to say to your upcoming opponent, who's known for being a bully and pretty aggressive?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's wonderful because this is the type of match that I've been looking to have. Let's put it that way. I see Bloodsport, and I tweeted out about that, and I said that was a place that you wouldn't see Darius Carter being because of my, not even wealth per se, but because of my pristine nature, because of my elegance and sophistication, how I carry myself. But, again, that catch-as-catch-can style is more than appropriate for Bloodsport. It's not just Bloodsport doesn't just mean kicking and punching and throwing. It means, that to me is the art. Is what is your art and how are you going to bring it to this ring? There's no rope running. There's no jumping and leaping off the top. You have another man in front of you in a wrestling contest and you have to beat him. What are you going to do? And to me, that's the part I like about this match with Cross, because I know that's what he does. That's his style. And I'm 100% there for that. And I don't know how many people think they know my style or fully understand my style, because they might label me as quote unquote character because they see so much personality from me. But they don't, these people don't realize that I will catch you and I will hook you. You know, I will twist you and turn you, and I have your foot touching your head. You know what I mean? I will twist. people don't fully understand this. You know what I mean? And then this is what I like about this Killer Cross, because I'm not coming in to taunt or to not coming in there to be Darius Carter, whatever that means. I'm not out there to be this quote unquote character. I'm out there to wrestle to win. And Killer's gonna see that instinct in me, and I don't think he's not gonna see that coming, because he's, you know, with Impact Wrestling and AAA, he's doing his things. He was just wrestling John Moxley. He even said in his little promo against me, he was just wrestling John Moxley. He's wrestling Darby Allin, who I also have faced and defeated. He's out here wrestling Eddie Kingston. So he's doing his thing, and he might have his head in the clouds, and he might come into this thinking that he's gonna eat me alive. And he has no idea that I'm waiting for a guy like him to think that they can feast off of me. I'm waiting for that. And that's going to catch him off guard. And that's what's going to be interesting about this match, because everyone's looking to see what I'm going to do. And that's great. But what's Killer Cross going to do when he gets in there with someone that's not what he expects? That's what I look forward to.
Man, I have a feeling that Killer Cross is going to get crossed out this weekend. But Mr. Darius Carter, man, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. If there's anything else that's coming up that you want the fans to know about or where they can reach you, the floor is all yours, man.
Absolutely. So the 21st, this Saturday, that is myself versus Killer Cross, my first defense of the Warriors of Wrestling World Heavyweight Championship, which I just won off Sonny Kiss. Sonny was the King of New York previously, so that makes me the true king. So it's myself versus Killer Cross this Saturday, the 21st. The 22nd, Warriors of Wrestling is bringing back their A Day as a Warrior studio tapings, which basically we wrestle in the ring. We have the locker room surrounding the ring, and those matches get uploaded directly to YouTube. I've had some really, really great contests against some great different opponents, different styles, at this taping. So that's something to look out for. You'll see that on my pages, which I'm going to promote soon. The 27th is going to be BCW. I have my sixth defense against Yaya, Big South, Yaya. So that's going to be a different match as well. First time we've competed against each other. I'm the longest reigning BCW champion, and this is going to be my record-breaking sixth defense. So if I win here, I will also break the record for most defenses with the championship. So that's going to be great. And then the 28th, that which is next Saturday, I wrestle Jordan Grace at Battle Club Pro, Anything You Can Do. So that's going to be amazing as well. I wrestled Jordan back in January of 2017. I defeated her then. And now this is going to be the big rematch. This is a huge rematch. I'm unpinned at Battle Club Pro. I have a 9-2 record without ever getting pinned. So I'm very interested to see Jordan, because she's changed in that last 2 years, and so have I. So this is going to be an incredible collision. This is going to be intergender warfare. I'm going to destroy her. That may cause issue with John Gresham, who I also welcome to challenge me once I've disposed of her. And then 10-5, October 5th, is Capital Wrestling coming back to Hoboken. So those are the soonest shows that I have. I just debuted in Nashville with Capital Wrestling, teaming with Jack Swagger. So huge things are coming up. Huge things are happening. It's only getting bigger. So, you know, just stay tuned. Facebook.com/Mr. Darius Carter. Twitter/Mr. Darius Carter. And Instagram/Mr. Darius Carter. So you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all/Mr. Darius Carter. And then you can find me also on my Facebook fan page, which is /Wrestling's Richest Prize. There you are.
And I'm your host, as always, James C. Turner Jr., which you can find me under that name on IG or Facebook, and at JP's All Day 1990 on Twitter. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to tune in next week.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain. Young G1.